in there for the problem of man.
Even though I was on the GRE board, I didn't make it an absolute requirement. But I did want it for my own purposes. I wanted to know how we compared with the other students. And we did pretty well. We didn't get the best. We got very few NSF fellows, which I used as a kind of a whip when I wanted to. But the quality was pretty high. I didn't feel there was any deterioration in that. I don't know what it's like now. And of course, we ran into the problem after a while, a terrible problem of placement when things went bad. We destroyed our country, destroyed a whole generation of young people.
In what way?
Well, we had this whole generation that came through with PhDs who were unplaceable. What was going to happen to them? And I think things have improved now, but who's going to hire somebody who's 10 years past his PhD when you can get a bright young guy fresh out of school on top of his field? That was sad. Nothing we could do.
What about the reputation of the institution?
The reputation of the institution outside of Stony Brook was pretty damn good. It was remarkably good, considering what I knew about it. Because I didn't let on. But I was always very pleased to see Stony Brook highly regarded. There was never... I mean, they always made a distinction between Stony Brook and the other institutions in New York. I mean, in the New York system,
yeah.
And that even includes Buffalo. So we had an excellent reputation in the outside world. I mean, the outside world of academia.
Yeah.
That was very nice.
Okay, I think that's about everything that I had standards, the difference in standards of comparison. I've asked you that.
There are a lot of anecdotes one could tell, but you know, the guy who really knows them all is Sidney.
Sidney?
Yeah, Sidney has an absolute terrible memory for you.
Well,
I can almost repeat conversations that happened 20 years ago.
This letter I drafted, and the questions I drafted after talking with the four of them,
mm-hmm.
Sidney, Tom Irvine, Francis Bonner, and Cliff Swartz.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Francis Bonner's, well, I got them together at my house, and we reminisced about Oyster Bay.
Yeah.
Which I knew nothing about firsthand.
Neither did I, of course.
And when we got through, he said, if somebody is ever to write the history of Stony Brook, nobody would believe it.
Have you interviewed Bentley?
No, not yet.
Bentley played a very important role. He had a dual role. Bentley's reputation was... There were three names that were associated with Stony Brook from the very beginning. One was Alfred, one was Bentley, and the other was Frank Yang. And Bentley's reputation was exceedingly helpful. He was a willful administrator.
In what sense?
For one thing, he kept no files, he kept no record, he didn't consult anybody. We always used to dread when he'd go on a plane trip because we didn't know who he would say, meet at an airport and say, you want to come to Stony Brook, you know. And I never had any sense of priorities with him. He was very susceptible to flattery. But basically, I never had the sense that he had a grasp of what was going on. It was very difficult to deal with him when I was a chairman. Just didn't know, and I was not the only one who said that. He liked to confer on you, your budget. And you know, it's really not a question of conferring as a personal matter. It's a question of priorities, you know. So in that sense, I found it very difficult to deal with. You know, he wasn't vice president, for very long after I became dean, because Sidney, he retired at that time, as I recall.
71.
Yeah, 71. As dean and vice president?
Yes. He and I are so
I mean, I became...
To the day. He
retired as vice president?
As vice president in 71.
I don't remember. I became dean in 68.
I can't be still teaching.
Hmm? No, but he wasn't vice president. No, that's what I meant. Because I was on the search committee that chose Sidney. Billy Jeff and I were on the search committee, interestingly enough. At that time, the choice of Sidney was inevitable. Because the one thing none of us wanted was for the university to go through the agony of a protracted search for a person in such a clear, crucial position. Remember, this is 68. You didn't want to stretch anything out. You wanted the decision right away. Then I think everybody agreed.
I mean, you were looking in 68 for somebody to take Bentley's place in 71.
No, I don't think Bentley was vice president in 71.
Pretty sure.
I simply can't remember that.
See, he and I are the same age today.
Yes, I understand. But I don't remember ever reporting to Bentley as dean for very long. I can't believe it would be 3 years. I may have forgotten all that. It's not impossible. Yes, I do remember getting the budget from him as dean, but not for 3 years running, unless it's all coalesced in my memory. But whatever it was, okay, if it was 71, it was particularly important to have a successor. But it's hard for me to think of Sidney as that I was in. Well, as a matter of fact, you know, Alec wasn't the executive vice president. Was appointed after I was appointed dean. Interesting. Do you have the date on that?
Johnny left in 78.
No, executive vice president.
Oh, he was...
He was acting.
So he was appointed executive vice president, I think, in either 66 or 67.
Acting. He was acting. Became the vice president later on.
I remember Johnny asking me if I thought that Alec would make a good executive vice president.
Alec was a good executive vice president, but for one thing. He had his order of priorities reversed. Alec worried more about the details of administration, as I used to like to say to him. You have to count the toilet paper rolls. You got people to do that. You run the university internally and let Johnny be Mr. Outside, you and Sidney. But Alec took every task. He was the cleanup man. And I think that was a mistake. He didn't have any perspective on the university as a whole. We got along very well. We were friends. But I think he's wasted his talents. And that's one of the reasons why he didn't make president, among other reasons. But one of the reasons, he never showed anywhere as a sense of what I would call academic imagination. He was always cleaning up after people. He also had another fault. He had terrible people working there. So that his credibility was always at stake.
I'm surprised you would put up with him.
Well, that's an interesting thing. He was very loyal to the people he appointed. But he was badly served by his assistant.
Can you think of anybody in particular?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Anyhow, it's all water over the dam.
Yes, it certainly is.
But Alec, you see, is still cleaning up for the president at Rutgers.
Rutgers, yes.
Alec will never get over being an executive officer in the Navy. In that sense, Alec had marvelous loyalty.
He was, well, I think he was instrumental in Johnny's coming.
Oh, yes, I know that. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I think he was a better chairman than a central administrator. Because there he had taste. You know, the physicists always use the word taste and mathematician. And he had genuine taste for the first rate. When he went to the higher level, there were too many other factors involved. And he was much more provincial. And he didn't get out in the big world very much. As I say, I spent a year at Princeton, and I knew the background of which he came. But you know, Johnny had at least been chairman of the department at the State Supported University of Maryland.
He built it.
And he built that department. It may not have been the best department, sure as hell the biggest. Johnny did have that imagination. He knew what he was doing. You'll never see his like again. Because the trustee will never appoint anybody unless he deceives them. But I'll be brutally frank. I always felt that the appointment of Marburger signaled that Stony Brook was not going to be what we wanted it to be. I put it as simply as that. I heard the discussion. I knew what was going on. Partially, I was by that time no longer dean. But you know, you pick up things. It was clear that the other three institutions hated Stony Brook, and they were going to do their damnedest to keep it down. Interestingly enough, a place like Cornell, for example, when we wanted a PhD program in music, we consulted with the other, we had to consult. Or the central administration consulted, and I was in on the discussion. Cornell was very generous. Why, of course, they said. Columbia and NYU. But NYU didn't have much of a PhD program in music, but Columbia did. But they fought it. They were always bitter. I got my revenge several times on doctoral evaluation committee. I would bang away at some of their programs. Several of them were put on hold because they weren't as good as they thought they were. But Cornell was magnanimous. Never had any opposition from them.
Well, they didn't, I guess, feel the competition. They were some distance from
I know, but good students go to good places. Location isn't the answer. And of course, why should Columbia worry? They had New York.
Yes.
We had to ship ours to the city. We had it right then and there. But they didn't have. But you know, we had. We have somebody like Charles Rosen. He's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But I understand that Treitler is leaving.
Is he?
That's a bad blow.
Where's he going?
City College.
He's going to City College?
That's what Dick Levine told me.
When is he leaving?
I don't know. That's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick also said a number of people in the sciences were leaving. I hope it doesn't. That exodus doesn't become a hemorrhage.
No, I hope not, too. Andy Jackson, I think he's on sabbatical now in Denmark at the...
Oh.
And there is...
At the Institute now?
Yes.
Pardon me a minute. Do you like iced coffee?
I think a little milk if you have that.
Milk? Yeah.
Yes.
But I should warn you, it's skim milk.
That's all right.
Okay.
That's all right. I don't think I need any more caffeine.
What were you going to say about Jack?
That there is a vacancy coming up over there in Copenhagen.
At the Niels Bohr?
Yes. And I think he may be in line for that. I think he would like to take it. He's going through the problem of... What is your view of why Alec did not get the presidency?
Well, I think there's no question that he was so identified with Johnny that...
I hope you eat seafood.
Yes.
Okay, and now you'll have the
time. Oh, yes.
There was no question he was so identified with Johnny that under no circumstances was that going to happen, but could only. I have no idea how he affected him personally, whether he saw him in presidential role, but I simply think that he was not, he was simply out of it because he was so close to Johnny. And given what I said before, that they weren't going to have another Johnny, they weren't going to take any more chances. I think that.
Now, was this the trustees, or was this the central administration?
Oh, I think both together.
Both together.
Insofar as I could figure out what was going on altogether. But I know the local board accepted him.
Yes. I think the business people were behind him.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think we would have
made a... I don't think he would have made a great president. He'd made a good president. Mm-hmm. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. Things would have run well, and he did know... he did have a great respect for what he used to call the academic heavyweights, by which he meant Sidney and myself. I think he should have had the opportunity. I'm just sorry that he was so badly identified with Johnny. We had that recently, an election with Carter Mondale.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Identification was not good for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, help yourself. You don't see him at all, do you, Alec?
I haven't seen him since you went to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Too bad.